B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Rival Sons frontman Jay Buchanan joins me today to discuss their brand new record, Feral Roots, which drops on Friday, January 25th. We talk all about the album, including why Jay and guitarist Scott Holiday are the sole writers in the band.
Well, because we're better writers.
There's a lot more to that story. We discuss the famous studios they use, the songs and the textures, and the partnership and relationship that Scott and him have.
I mean, Scott and I are really close. Has been. He's my partner. He's my right hand, and I'm his right hand.
Frontman Jay Buchanan from Rival Sons is my guest today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock podcast. Meltdown back at it. Al Beck coming up here with the rock news after we talk with Jay Buchanan. And he's got news on Chester Bennington and the guys from Lamb of God. Green Day selling a bunch of gear. Weezer drops this covers album. Now, we'll have to give a listen to some of these covers because I have to be honest with you, a few of these songs I'm not sure if I've ever heard before. So we'll give a listen to those. And Marilyn Manson singing some gospel. That all comes up after Jay Buchanan. Their new record, Feral Roots, like I said in the intro, drops on Friday, January 25th. It seems like a long time in the making. These guys did an acoustic set for our radio station back in, I want to say, November or something like that. It's been a while, but it's finally here. And I asked Jay about the excitement and just a chance to get this music out to the world and his thoughts on the record.
With this record, you know, we took just over a year to make it collectively. And that's not because we spent that long in the studio. No, we probably spent a collective 18, 19 days of recording. But what's different is Scott and I gave ourselves a lot more time to calculate and to write and to try to craft songs for what this collection was going to be. And it's not that we don't do that every time, but typically on our previous six records, we just get in the studio and start writing. Okay, let's record it right now. But we give ourselves more time in between our sessions. And so it was a different vibe. There was definitely a feeling that this one is for all the marbles. You know, we signed to Atlantic, LCS, and now we've got this great team of people that are working to lift us up as high as we can be. And we wanted to seize the opportunity to see what kind of a record we could make if we took our time.
Yeah, so I was going to, so you're saying it's all for all the marbles, and it was funny because I was thinking about this earlier too. It's like, you know, you guys have kind of grown and grown and grown, and now you're at this point, and you're right. It's like, this is it, man. This is the chance to really push this thing over the top. You feel a little bit of pressure about that?
Well, you know, every time you make a record, for any band or any artist, each time you make a record, you're basically putting your neck on the chopping block, because if it does well, things are going to get easier. And if it doesn't, things could get more difficult. So I think that each time you have a little bit of pressure, but we don't really, you know, we don't take that too literally. Our job is to be ourselves. Our job is to just write songs and be the best band that we can be. Try to be authentic and just try to make good songs and to perform them well. This one in particular, I think that I personally, for what my job is with writing, I did have a couple of sleepless nights, that's for sure. Just thinking, oh man, you know, we just signed on with a giant label after all of these years of being on indie labels and stuff like that. What did we do? What are they going to make me do? Are they going to, you know, am I going to have to compromise? I'm not going to compromise music. And it turns out that they just supported us. You know, they didn't try to tell us who to be or what to do or just any of those sort of stories that you hear all the time. You know, people link up with the big label and all of that, and then the artist has a hard time, like, you know, like some weird adversarial relationship, like, shut up, you're not my real dad, don't tell me what to do. Anyway, but it really wasn't like that. They were very, very supportive and had a real hands-off mentality, but at the same time being extremely communicative.
Yeah, I think we talked about that last time. You said that you're really happy with the way the record company was treating you around the writing process and the whole thing. Hey, I wanted to ask you, how come it's just you and Scott pretty much doing the writing? How come the whole band wasn't with you? Is that just pretty much what you guys normally do or what?
Well, because we're better writers.
Better writers. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's, you know, I'm not going to have somebody cook my food. I'm going to look for the best cook in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a songwriter since I was a little kid, and, you know, Scott, too. And that's not to say that either of those guys don't write. They definitely do. But it's very different. You know, somebody's got to steer the ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this record's been described in an interview I just saw recently as a step in a new direction. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. I think that, I think each record is a step in a different direction, because the band is constantly morphing, constantly changing. We grow. We grow as people. We grow as a collective with this myriad of experiences that we're afforded every year, being on tour so much. You live a lot of life just within 1 year. And traveling that much, I tend to think it's a little more accelerated than what a typical suburban or pedestrian life would be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of experience. And so I think that each time you go in to make a record, you're going to go and look in the mirror and you're going to look different. You're going to have different things to say. And the skill set of each one of the guys in the band is going to be different. And so each time you're going in a new direction, but you're still somewhat yourselves, you know, as a collective and individually. I think that with this record, we took some time off, and this was just on the heels of us being out with Sabbath for 13 months and getting that world-class education of what it means to be an arena band and to be treated to that opportunity by those giants. I think it really gave us a taste. They were showing us like, hey, look, this could all be yours. What are you guys going to do? So I think that gave pause for us, and wanted to go back in and just work even harder than we usually do.
Now, you come off that tour and stuff, like you said, and you kind of took a little bit of time, but then you go and you guys kind of lock yourself up out in the bare bones shack and write this. What did you guys learn about each other writing this record between you and Scott?
I mean, Scott and I are really close, you know, and we always have been. He's my partner, and, you know, he's my right hand and I'm his right hand. That's just the way it goes. So I think I think it was really just opening up the dialogue and discussing, well, where are we? Where are you at, man? What's up? And, you know, we just talk about that stuff. What kind of a record are we going to make? What kind of a statement are we going to put out there? And who are we?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what that was. It was coming together and choosing more than ever to collaborate more closely than we ever have before, you know, because Scott's a writer, and he would work on some stuff, and then I'd work on stuff like on our own on previous records, and then we would get into the studio and then collaborate then. But with this record, we collaborated right out of the gate on everything.
Mm.
And I think it's to great effect. I think things have a different tone and an underlying cohesion.
Now, you talk about the writing process and stuff, and we've talked about this before, working with the producer, Dave Cobb, and of course working at Muscle Shoals and all that other kind of stuff down in Nashville. So this whole process seems to be like something completely different than what you guys have done in the past, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we've always worked with Dave
right.
Cobb, a brilliant producer, and obviously now like multi-Grammy winning King of the Hill, basically. I'm so proud of him. He's doing so well. And he's doing a lot of very, very interesting and innovative things in production and in music in general. But, you know, he threw us some real curveballs because he knows us. You know, he's been with us from the very beginning, and our careers have ascended from the get-go. Now, he, you know, him taking us out of our element, you know, most of the record was recorded at RCA Studio A in Nashville and on Music Row there. And then we were having dinner one night, and he says, hey man, you want to go down to Muscle Shoals and record for a couple of days? Yeah, that sounds great. but we only had like a collective 4 days left. I'm like, We're going to take two of those days and move all of our gear down to Muscle Shoals. That's going to be rough. And I think it was kind of a gamble because it was going to put us in a tight spot where we had to perform. We were putting up, it was a risk. And I'm all about it. So we had, you know, with management and with everybody, they logistically had to make things work for us to drive all the way down there. I couldn't have been happier to do it. And I think that it was such a great move because it really put the band on their heels, like, you have to perform because we took this risk. And not only that, but we're recording in this sacred space on hallowed ground. And boy, did it work. We did the title track of Feral Roots there. We did one of my favorite tracks called Stood By Me. And then we recorded a song, All Directions, was there. And we also recorded Imperial Joy in that session.
Well, final thing here for you before they cut us off. When somebody puts this record on and listens to it for the first time, what do you think will hit them first? What kind of stuff do you think they're going to get out of it?
Well, I think it goes from song to song. You know, the way that the album is laid out, it's meant to take you on a little bit of a trip. You know, you get the first, you know, the first third, second third, and then the third. It's basically cut into three acts, you know, in terms of vibe. So it brings you up and it brings you down, and then it sends you off sweetly with a good song at the end there. I think that fans of the band are going to be really happy at the growth and at the turn that we took. And I think that if you aren't familiar with our catalog and you listen to the record, you're going to be looking at it in a different way. And it's just a bunch of rock and roll songs, you know, with some Appalachian stuff thrown in there, rhythm and blues, a lot of soul.
Well, you're going to be coming through the Motor City here coming up in April. Looking forward to seeing you guys again on a much bigger stage than the last time we saw you.
Hell yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, time for rock news here with Al Beck, joined alongside by him once again. Always good to talk with Jay Buchanan. Were you at the acoustic thing they did for us a couple
months
ago?
No, unfortunately not. No,
it was cool,
not.
Man. I'll tell you what, Dad, especially Jay, he, you know, I think his Twitter handle is something like Jay the Songbird or sings like a Jay Bird the Song. Yeah. I don't know, whatever it is. But anyways, that dude, he really has some great pipes and super emotional up on stage and really just gives you chills just watching him. So looking forward to diving into this brand new Rival Sons this weekend. Feral Roots, which drops on Friday the 25th. So anyways, what do you got going on as far as rock news is concerned?
Well, you know, Mark Morton is probably best known for being one of the guitarists for Lamb of God, but he's got this new solo album he's got coming out, and he's got a bunch of different guest appearances on it. One of them isn't too much of a stretch. He's got Randy Bly from Lamb of God as a vocalist. Like, okay. Well, okay, so it's just another Lamb of God song, I
right,
guess.
Exactly.
But one of the songs is actually featuring a recording of Chester Bennington that he came in and he had done this work before he had passed away.
Now, before you get into that, mm-hmm. what other guests does he have? Because I've only heard Chester Bennington.
Don't have the whole list in front of me. I think someone from Arch Enemy was
the metal guys.
Yeah, which is one of the things that stood out to me about Chester Bennington being on the Mark Morton album, because that's what was so funny about the song he did with Randy Bly. It just sounded like Lamb of God. So,
right. You know. I got to admit, I'm not a huge Lamb of God fan, but Mark Morton was doing the rounds the other day, doing interviews and stuff, and they actually had it scheduled for a time when I was on the air, so I couldn't do any of this stuff. But I would have liked to have talked to him about working with Chester Bennington, but I see our girl Sarah from our station in Philadelphia did, so what do you have to say?
Well, you know what? He talked about one of the words that he said, if you asked him something about working with Chester, if he could sum it up in one word, it was enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Said he came in, he was super prepared, and he had all these notes and a bunch of lyric ideas that he just was super excited to run by Mark and also their producer and stuff like that. So just talking about what a great experience it was working with Chester. I know you've had a lot of experiences with Chester as well that we've spoken of before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you never really know somebody, right? So it's like you don't know what they're going through and you know, whatever else. And boy, every time I was around Chester, man, you couldn't meet a guy more full of life. So that was when my boss came in here that day and said, dude, you're not going to believe it. Chester Bennington killed himself. I'm like, what? It's like, I can still remember that moment. Yeah. It was really, you know, it took you back for a second. I'm like, wait a second. You know, he was always one of the nicest guys. You know, all those guys in the band in Linkin Park have always been really nice to me. So,
yeah, well, you know, it's going to be, I mean, you know, it's going to be very surreal to hear it, but it'll be nice to hear something new with Chester's voice on it again, which Mark Morton's album Anesthetic is available for pre-order right now. Green Day, who's also working on some new material. Last I checked with them, Billy Joe Armstrong is working on some new stuff for their next album.
You actually check in with them? That's great.
I do, yes.
Wow. You got a private line right to Green Day?
That's right, and a PPO to back it up, too. Just stay away from us!
Last time I checked in with them. Okay, all right, excellent, man. You're really in the know.
Last time I looked at a news website.
You got your finger on the pulse of Green Day. I love that.
Oh, God, I do not. But Billy Joe had actually, I think in 2017, went on that Reverb.com, you know, and sold a bunch of his gear. And it looks like he's going to be doing it again. And actually, this time, the other guys, Trey and Mike, are going to be joining in. So there's going to be like a whole Green Day selection of gear up for grabs, talking guitars, amplifiers, all stuff that they've used.
Yeah, not only used, but I think that even some of the stuff from when they were at Woodstock still has the mud in it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's really cool. This Reverb.com is a place where musicians are selling their used equipment. So it's memorabilia. You could play on it if you really want to. But
now, are they doing this for any charity or anything, you know?
You know, I don't know off the top of my head where it's
going to
go.
Am I asking too many difficult questions today?
You know what? Yes, evidently.
You are supposed to be the news guy.
Yes,
Start acting like it, okay?
Yeah. Follow-up questions. What's your name? I don't know, Meltdown.
I saw that. So they got about 100 items they're going to be selling us. Mm-hmm. I believe that starts on February 7th.
That is correct. It will be also on their official Green Day Reverb shop.
Yeah, so that's really cool, man. You know, it's so awesome that you could buy something that these guys use. I just saw another guitar player online, selling some stuff because he's not one of the big time rock guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But his dog has to have some sort of dental surgery or something. So he's selling this guitar, and it's like one of those closed auctions where you don't know what anyone else is bidding, you know? So he's selling a pretty cool guitar and stuff and an hour lesson and different things like that. But nowadays, you know, when I was a kid, I would have loved to have had a chance to buy some sort of cool rock memorabilia. I'm not saying I had any money for it, and I still probably don't, but it'd be pretty cool that you could buy some of this stuff and just, you know, put it in your house. Hey, that's a Green Day guitar, you know, they used on the whatever tour, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, Trey Cool was there talking to him about this, and they said they're kind of asking about what it's going to be like to say goodbye to some of this gear. He's like, I'll probably just buy it back at 3 a.m.
But again, dude, that was funny. That reminds me of a story. The guys from Metallica, I think James and Kirk, if I'm not mistaken, or James or Kirk and Lars or someone. Kirk told me one time he was bidding on a guitar and didn't realize it, but either James or Lars or somebody was bidding against him. They didn't even know it.
I love that.
And so one of them bought that guitar. Dude, you're not going to believe this. I bought this guitar. And he's like, wait, I was bidding on that one too.
Yeah, well, if you end up bidding on anything drums in this auction, you may be up against Trey. So,
switching gears to the guys from Weezer, who, by the way, speaking of Metallica, they have a black album coming out on March 1st. Blasphemous, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
How can you do that?
Yeah, well, like you said, Weezer does have a new original album coming out, the Black Album, March 1st, as you just mentioned. But then a very surprise Teal album, which is out now. And of course, you know, one of their big hits, probably the biggest hit they had in about a decade, was that cover of Toto's Africa. Well, guess what? The Teal album is nothing but covers, Meltdown.
Yeah, I see that. So let's give a listen to some of this, some of these tracks here.
Listen to play, don't you know? It's a beautiful new day.
So they're covering Mr. Blue Sky here from ELO. It almost sounds exactly like the original.
It does.
All right, this is kind of boring. Let's check out another one here. Yeah, right. Let's see, what do we got here? Oh, Billie Jean. Okay, this is
sure. All right.
You mean I am the one who will dance on the floor in the round. She said
cool dance on the floor in the round.
All right, Al, you can stop dancing. My God, dude, you're embarrassing yourself.
I'm going to get a dance over and flick the lights on and off.
Yeah, not sure if I'm feeling that either, but let's try one more.
Yeah, well, you can't top the Chris Cornell cover of that song that he had done. Oh, God, yeah. That was amazing.
No, that's good. Yeah. So this one is No Scrubs. Now, this was supposedly done by TLC, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, that's the three girls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now, people are saying, oh, no, they did No Scrubs. I'm like, I don't even know if I know what this song is. Let's
all
see.
Right,
if,
well, let's give it a listen.
No, I don't want to give you mine, and no, I don't want to meet you, no, and no, don't want none of your time, and no.
Did he just develop an English accent somewhere?
I think he may have. Now, see, this song I am familiar with because that's like right where I was in middle school when this came out, you know?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard this song. Didn't they sing the, that's the band that sang the waterfall thing, right? Wasn't that?
Sure, I don't know. Like I said, what do you got? We already covered this. Asking me follow-up questions.
I'm not sure.
I wasn't a TLC fan. I was just, I had heard the song.
Yeah.
I actually prefer the Weezer version, to be honest with you.
I've got to be honest. I don't think I've ever heard this song before. So.
Yeah.
Now, there you go. So yeah, that's the Teal album from Weezer. There's a little sampling of some of the cover songs they got there. So.
They've also got covers of Aha. They've got the Turtles.
What song from Aha?
Of Take On Me, of course.
Okay. Now, see, that's actually kind of a cool song.
Right. Tears for Fears are on this album. You know, all that kind of stuff. So, and of course, Africa, the Toto cover.
God,
I'm
sick of that. Why they revived Toto's career? I'll always hold that against them.
Yeah, yeah. You do know the story behind that, though, right?
No.
Like how that came about. There was like a fan, like a 13, 14-year-old fan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And who on social media was like, hey, Weezer, you should do Africa. And they're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And they did it.
You know, I think I told you about this. I rode my motorcycle one time back to Western New York where I grew up, and I wanted to get home before the bars closed.
Mm.
And I rode my motorcycle home. I left here at like 6 o'clock or something. Got home by midnight.
Yeah.
Get to the bar. I'm like 20 years older than the oldest person in the bar.
Yeah.
And I have to hear Africa from Toto twice. On the jukebox during one friggin' drink.
Yeah.
I'm like, check, please.
Yeah, yeah. No one was a bigger fan of that cover than Toto.
Of course.
You know?
So let's wrap things up here with Marilyn Manson.
That's
something
right.
happened over the weekend that is kind of a little bit out of character for him.
Well, he jumped up and did a special guest appearance on stage at the Ace Hotel over the weekend in L.A. He joined Kris Kristofferson on stage.
Yeah.
Also accompanied by Tanya Tucker and Shooter Jennings Meltdown.
Love me some Shooter.
And also Dennis Quaid, the actor, for a rendition of Kristofferson's Why Me.
I don't know if I know that song, but
I don't either.
Manson posted a picture of himself with Kristofferson, calling it an honor to perform this gospel tune with him on stage. So,
yeah.
You know, right here in Detroit, he's had his share of battles. Like, for example, for those of you that are listening outside of the Detroit area, Manson one time got into it with Rob Zombie, I want to say backstage after a show one time.
I believe so.
And then one time, he actually was rubbing like his nutsack on the top of the security guards head in the front row, which he had to go to court for.
You know,
and didn't he got in some sort of altercation with someone and just different things he's done here. Now he's singing gospel. So.
Yeah. You know, I always thought was interesting about the altercation with Rob Zombie was that happened the year before they went on tour together again.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell?
Well, when they announced their tour last year, the Twins of Evil, it was really funny because Rob and Manson were in there like, hey, we're going to go out on tour again. What could go wrong?
Exactly.
It was pretty funny. That was kind of like the whole inside joke as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
So anyways, there you go. Give your socials.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of them at Al Beck Radio.
All right, at Meltdown WRIF and at Talking Rock with One. And hey, check out bpodstudios.com, and that's where some other really cool podcasts are. We work for Beasley Media. We got our own like platform for podcasts, and from Philadelphia and Boston and Florida and, you know, Detroit here where we are as well. So if you like this, maybe the sound of with some of my coworkers as they talk about music, also give that a chance to give that a listen and see what you think about that. And like I said, bpodstudios.com. Hey, thank you so much for checking out Talking Rock. I've got Ripper Owens. Remember him from he filled in for Rob Halford back in the day. I mean, he was part of Judas Priest.
Yeah, Tim Ripper Owens.
Have you ever met him?
I have not. No.
So I'm talking to him next week, and I'm super excited about that. I have to admit that movie rock star. Yeah, it didn't age well. Although Jennifer Aniston did. And to be honest, Mark Wahlberg has as well. He looks pretty good, too, for his age.
Yeah, well, he wakes up at 5 a.m. and, like, plays golf and works out or something. I don't
remember. Exactly.
He put out some crazy schedule. But
it's so fun to watch that movie and check out all the cameos. You know, Michael Starr from Steel Panther's in there for, like, 2.5 seconds. At the end, that's Miles Kennedy.
Who
takes over for the guy on stage. Yeah. And then, of course, his band with Zakk Wylde and Jeff Pilson and, Jason Bonham. And you just watch that whole thing. And we'll talk with Ripper about that coming up on next week as well. So subscribe and check back. And thank you so much for checking out Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.